In our last lesson, we considered the supremacy of Jesus over that of Moses. Jesus was superior, as we pointed out, not only in faithfulness, but in person and service. Moses was a servant in the house of God, but Jesus, however, is the builder of that house and serves as the son over the house. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 3 and verse 7, that the writer to the Hebrews affirms that we are the house of Christ, referring to the church, which is the house of God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. He says, "For in Christ we are now members of the household of God, and together with the faithful saints of old, including Moses, we are now fellow citizens in the commonwealth of Israel," Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. But our status as the house is conditional. Whose house we are if he says, we hold fast. Chapter 3 and verse 6. You see, we have to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. The need for steadfastness explains the exhortations in this letter. We saw the first exhortation in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, regarding the danger of drifting. Now we come to the second exhortation, or warning, if you will, regarding the danger of departing from the living God, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. To warn against the danger of departing, this writer appeals to the example of Israel in the wilderness, verses 7 through 11. He points out that Israel hardened their hearts. The quotation in verses 7 through 11 is from Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11, in which the Holy Spirit warned Israel not to be like the fathers in the wilderness, a warning which the Hebrew writer found just as necessary in his day. You see, in the wilderness, the Israelites had hardened their hearts in rebelling against God, and they did this multiple times. They tested or tried God with their lack of faith. And this they did many times during the 40 years of wandering, but especially at the beginning, with the incident at Massa, where they tempted, and Meribah, where they showed contention, Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. And then toward the end, with the incident at Kadesh, Numbers 27 and Numbers 20. So, they did not enter into God's rest. God became angry with that generation in the wilderness for their persistent rebellion. Psalm 106, verses 13 through 33. So God swore that they would not enter into his rest. Go back to Numbers 14. Of those over the age of 20 when they departed from Egypt, only Caleb and Joshua were allowed to enter the promised land. The rest, of which were some 603,000 men, died in the wilderness. Now, because of the hardened hearts of Israel, Israel departed from God, which led to rebellion. In turn, they fell short of the Canaan rest that they had been promised. With a warning from the wilderness, fresh in their minds, the Hebrew writer then exhorts his brethren by warning them about the danger of departing. We see this in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. He says there is a need to beware. A believer can develop an evil heart of unbelief, he says. Remember that the recipients of this letter were holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, chapter 3, verse 1. And this warning against developing a heart of unbelief presumes a real possibility that a believer can become an unbeliever. Unbelief is produced as one is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to understand that sin is deceitful. It's full of lies. It promises pleasure, power, and prestige. But in the short term, that's what it offers. And that may be true, but such things are passing or temporary, as we notice in Hebrews 11 and verse 25 and 1 John 2 and verse 17. Because of its deceitfulness, it makes it easy to become hardened of heart. In other words, to be stubborn and not listen to the word of God. It happened to Israel, and it can happen to us. You see, the consequence of unbelief is departing from the living God. As one grows in their unbelief, they drift away from God. Now, while a believer remains in fellowship with God, an unbeliever can only depart further and further away from God. So the Hebrew writer tells us in verses 12 through 14 that the solution is to exhort one another daily. This is how a believer avoids becoming an unbeliever, through this mutual edification that's done on a daily basis. We can prevent the hardening that comes from sin's deceitfulness. An important part of such exhortation is our assembling together. Hebrew writer talks about this in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And that would certainly involve our assemblies on the first day of the week, as Paul addressed in Acts 20 and verse 7 when he met with the Ephesian elders. But with the need for daily exhortation, should we be satisfied to limit our assembling to one service a week? If we have the opportunity to assemble more often, shouldn't we? Even if it's only by phone, we should seek to exhort one another daily. And our participation in Christ is conditional. And once again, we see the conditional nature of our participation with Christ. We are the house of Christ. Remember chapter 3 and verse 6, he says, if we hold fast the confession and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And he tells us in chapter 3 and verse 14 that we have become partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, what about the security of the believer? The believer does enjoy the assurance of his salvation. But we have seen that a believer can develop an evil heart of unbelief and become an unbeliever. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. When a believer becomes an unbeliever, what promises of security and salvation there may be to the believer are no longer applicable to the unbeliever. So, the many warnings that remain to the faithful include that of our Lord's in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death." The danger of departing from God is so great that the Hebrew writer returns to a warning from the wilderness. He talks about the example of Israel in the wilderness, and he revisits that in verses 15 through 19. He makes another appeal, again quoting from Psalm 95, verses 7 through 8. The Hebrew writer applies the quotation to Christians. He says they need to hear his, that is, God's voice. Remember Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And that is, hear with a desire to listen. He says, for they can too easily harden their hearts as in rebellion. The need for Christians today to believe and obey is just as vital as in the first century. In the case of the Israelites in the wilderness, who was it that rebelled? Everyone who came out of Egypt except Joshua and Caleb. Even though they were led by Moses, they still rebelled. We may have been delivered by Christ from the bondage of sin, but rebellion is still possible. In the case of the Israelites, with whom God was angry for 40 years, those who sinned and who died in the wilderness as a result of their lack of faith, if we become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, can we escape judgment? In the case of the Israelites, who did God not allow in the promised land? Those who did not obey. Those who developed unbelief. So can we enter our promised rest if we disobey through unbelief? You see, when the Apostle Paul related some of the same experiences of Israel in the wilderness, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." It's for our admonition that we have such warnings as found in our text, because the deceitfulness of sin is just as strong today as it was then. and the hardening of one's heart is just as dangerous today, and departing from God is just as possible today. So, the potential for falling short of our promised rest is just as much a reality for us as it proved to be for the Israelites that were in the wilderness. That's why we need to exhort one another daily, to encourage one another to remain strong, Hebrews 3 and verse 19. To encourage one another to remain strong in obedience, Hebrews 3 and verse 18. So let me ask you, have you encouraged your brother or sister lately? Now finally, did you notice how faith and obedience were used interchangeably in these last two verses? These terms are not opposed to one another. In fact, Paul himself wrote about obedience to the faith, Romans 1 and verse 5 and Romans 16 and verse 26. And faith is dead unless there is obedience, James chapter 2. And so those who truly believe will obey. And that's why Jesus can be described as the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Have you obeyed the gospel that Jesus preached? Have you obeyed Jesus by obeying his gospel? You know, that's an interesting question. And there are a lot of people that claim to believe in Jesus but won't obey Jesus. It may be that you would like to listen to this lesson again. If you would, you can go to the church's website. That's church@eastside.com. If you would like to discuss this lesson or any other lessons with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can also join us this morning at the Eastside Congregation for a period of Bible study at 9 a.m., for a period of worship at 10 a.m., and then we'll meet again this evening at 5 p.m. for an evening worship period. Also, we will have a midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Again, if you'd like to discuss this lesson or any other lesson or have any questions, I would be glad to sit down and meet with you, or at least on email. You can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. I want to thank you for being with me again today.